Have you ever had a dream and when you woke up, you just thought, man, there were just some crazy characteristics about that dream? And maybe you've even gone as far as to say, well, was there some sort of meaning or something that I was supposed to glean from this particular dream? Some of you have probably had that before in your life, and then maybe even something from years and years ago that you still remember. Maybe there's been a time when you felt like there was a greater meaning to that particular dream, and then you had the pleasure and occasion of being able to figure out what that meaning was. And a lot of times people will sit back and they'll say, well, is there any validity to that? Well, all I know is this. All I know is what the scripture says. So I want to encourage you right now, grab your Bible, come on back, turn it over to Genesis chapter 40. We're going to continue our series that I titled From the Pit to the Palace, God's Providence Through Betrayal and Hardship. See you in just a moment. Hey folks, welcome to the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. I pray that your day and your week have been going well. Just a moment ago, I mentioned we're going to be looking at passages that come out of Genesis chapter 40. So if you have your Bible, go ahead, turn it there. We continue our series by looking at interpreting dreams today as foretold in Genesis chapter 40. Now, there are times in our lives when things just feel unclear. Life itself just feels unclear. Everybody wants to know what tomorrow holds. We may not be lying awake, you know, at night and wondering about, you know, a dream that we had had this past week or even that particular night, but we're all carrying questions that feel just as heavy. Questions like, will my family be okay? Will this diagnosis change everything? Will I get out of this financial mess? Will I ever find purpose in what I'm going through? And sometimes the questions come in strange ways. A dream unsettles us. A plan falls apart. A conversation leaves us confused. You know, a season of suffering makes us ask, Lord, what are you doing? That's why Genesis 40 matters. This chapter it's not just about two men in prison having dreams. It's about a God who is never absent, never confused, never late, and never silent when it comes to accomplishing his purpose. Joseph is in prison again, unfairly, forgotten by men, but not forgotten by God. And in that dark place, God gives dreams, and God gives the gift to interpret them. Joseph does not use dreams to build a platform for himself. He does not turn dream interpretation into some sort of a show. He just uses the moment to point people to the Lord, who is the one who rules over all things. Now, Genesis 40 teaches us how to think about dreams, but even more, it teaches us how to trust the God who stands behind every dream, every delay, every door, every detail of our lives. And if you and I will listen carefully, we will learn that the deepest interpretation is not just about what the dream means, it's about what God is doing. Couple of points, you know, like I say, any pastor has to have some points. Now, Genesis 40, it's a pretty long passage, so what I'm doing is I'm going to be taking excerpts from that as we go through our time today, all right? But know this, you know, if you're a note taker, this is your number one. God is at work, even in those dark places. You see, the chapter opens up with two officials of Pharaoh that are in trouble. In Genesis chapter 40, particularly verses 1 through 4, read like this. It says, and it came to pass after these things that the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt offended their lord, the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh was angry with his two officers, the chief butler and the chief baker. So he put them in custody in the house of the captain of the guard in the prison, the place where Joseph was confined. And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he served them. So they were in custody for a while. Now think about that for just a moment. Joseph is still in prison, but even in prison, God is arranging the next step of his story. You know, what looks like delay to us is often preparation to God. What feels like a dead end may be the very hallway that God is using to bring us where he wants us to be. Now, Joseph, you know, did not arrive in prison by accident. He had been betrayed by his brothers. He'd been falsely accused by Potiphar's wife, and he had been forgotten by the cupbearer that he helped. Humanly speaking, this was a tremendous chain of disappointments. But heaven was not confused in that situation. God was not pacing the floor. I've often used the term, God was not having a Malox moment over this particular issue. God was not trying to recover from a bad situation. God was positioning Joseph for what comes next. Now, that's a word somebody needs to hear today. You may feel like you're stuck, but stuck does not mean abandoned. You may feel forgotten, but forgotten does not mean forsaken. You may be in a season where you cannot see the reason, but that does not mean that there is no reason. Now, Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, one of my favorite passages in the Bible, simply says this: Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding, and always acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Notice that it does not say, trust in the Lord when the path makes sense. It says, trust him with all of your heart, even when your understanding runs out. That is the posture that Joseph lived by. That is the position that he held. He could not interpret his own suffering, but he kept serving faithfully where he was. You know, it was hard for him to understand why things were going on, but he continued to be who he was and who God made him, even in the midst of that. And that matters, because a lot of people think God only works on the mountaintops. You know, we like bright, visible moments, obviously. We like open doors, green lights, and clear answers. But Genesis 40 reminds us that God also works in prisons. He works in waiting rooms. He works in hospital corridors. He works in lonely apartments. He works in long nights and in seasons where nobody sees our faithfulness except the Lord. Maybe your prison is not made of stone. Maybe it's a place of limitation. Maybe it's a job that you didn't want. Maybe it's a role that you did not choose, or a responsibility that feels too heavy. Maybe you're in a chapter in your life that you never planned. If that's you, hear this. God is not wasting your pain. He is writing with it. Okay? Sometimes that's hard for us to understand, but trust me on that. It's the word of God. Joseph's assignment in prison was very simple. Serve. In verse 4, it says that the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he served them. Did you pick that up? He did not let unfair circumstances turn him bitter and useless. He kept his heart soft enough to serve the other prisoners. That is a mark of spiritual maturity. Some people, when they're hurt, they become hard-hearted. Joseph became helpful. Before he ever interpreted a dream, he lived a life that said, God is still here. Okay? The second thing I want us to see, this is number two for you note takers. God speaks and his meaning is sure. Did you get that? God speaks and his meaning is sure. In verses 5 through 8, the butler and the baker each have a dream. Joseph notices that they're troubled, and he asks the kind of question that godly people ask when they care about others. He said this, "Why do you look so sad today?" And they replied that they both had dreams and there was no interpreter. Well, then Joseph says something that should ring through the whole chapter, okay? He says this, you ready? "Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell them to me, please." That is the center of the whole passage. Interpretations belong to God. Joseph is not saying that dreams are magic. He is not saying every dream must be chased down like a puzzle from heaven. He's not saying that men have secret powers to unlock the future. He is saying the God who gives meaning is the God who must be consulted. The Lord alone knows the hidden things. And that truth is still relevant today. We live in a world that loves predictions. People want signs. They want systems. They want shortcuts. And some folks will read into every little coincidence. Others yet run to every voice that claim to know what the future holds. But Scripture, but Scripture points us away from superstition and toward the living God. The Lord does speak, and when he speaks, his word is true. His word is reliable, and his word is purposeful in your life. The book of James chapter 1 verse 5 says this, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him." Boy, what a great promise that is, and we need to keep that in our hearts and in our minds. See, that's where the believer goes when life is confusing. We go to God for wisdom. We don't need to panic. We don't need to invent meaning. We don't need to pretend that we know what we don't know. We simply ask God. Joseph's answer also teaches us about humility. Notice that he does not say, "I can explain your dreams." That's not what he said. He said, "Do not interpretations belong to God? Then tell them to me, please." Yeah, he is able, but he's not proud. He's useful, but he's not pumping himself up or being self-exalted. Yeah, he is a servant with a gift, not a performer with a stage. That's important because spiritual gifts are never meant to inflate the person. You know, that's not what it's about. They're never meant to inflate the person that has a particular gift. They are meant to bless others and to glorify God. Did you get both of those? To bless others and to glorify God. The danger for any gifted person is to start believing that the gift is the point. Yeah, Joseph would not do that. Daniel would not do that either. When Nebuchadnezzar later demanded interpretation, Daniel answered with the same spirit. Daniel 2:28 says this, but there is a God in heaven who reveals secrets, and he has made known to King Nebuchadnezzar what will be in the latter days. See, Joseph and Daniel stand together across Scripture to remind us that the Lord reveals what he wants to reveal, when he wants to reveal it, and to whom he wants to reveal it, okay? The message is never, look at the interpreter. That's not what it's about. The message is, look at God. See, that ought to shape how you and I live. We should not chase, you know, mystical experiences as if they were the main thing. We should not place our confidence in human ability to explain everything. We should live submitted to God, who knows what we do not know. When he opens his truth, then we receive it. When he does not, we simply wait. Sometimes the most spiritual thing that you can say is simply this: "Lord, I do not know, but I trust you. Lord, I'm putting my trust in you to navigate the path." All right, note takers, number three is this: God's word tells us the difference between hope and judgment. All right, Joseph first interprets the butler's dream in verses 9 through 13. Yet the butler, in those passages, the butler sees a vine with three branches that bud, blossom, and then produce grapes. All right. He presses the grapes into Pharaoh's cup and he gives it to him. And Joseph explains what's going on in verse 12 of our text. He says this, this is the interpretation of it. The three branches are 3 days. Now within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your place, and you will put Pharaoh's cup in his hand according to the former manner when you were his butler. That's good news. Restoration. Great news. Vindication. Phenomenal news. A return to service. For one man, the dream meant that mercy was on its way. But then Joseph interprets the baker's dream in verses 16 through 19. The baker sees three white baskets on his head, birds eating the baked goods from the top of the basket. And Joseph says the interpretation is also 3 days. But this time, the outcome is judgment. This is what the verses say. It said, within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift off your head from you and hang you on a tree, and the birds will eat your flesh from you. Boy, that's sobering, isn't it? Same prison, same night, same interpreter, same time frame, but not the same outcome. See, that teaches us something very, very important. God's truth is not determined by what we prefer to hear. Some people only want messages that make them feel better. They want the cupbearer's words, not the baker's words. They want comfort without conviction. They want blessing without repentance. They want heaven without holiness. But God's word is not a serving tray where we go and pick only what we like. You know, His word tells the truth. There's mercy for some and there's judgment for others, and the Scripture never lets us blur those lines. The gospel itself contains both. There's a sweet promise that all who trust in Christ will be saved, and there is a serious warning that those who reject Him remain under judgment. In fact, John chapter 3:18 says, "He who believes in Him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son." That's not a popular passage, but it's a necessary one. The Bible does not flatter us. It tells us the truth so that we might be saved. There's another lesson that we see in here. The same event can mean different things depending upon the condition of the heart and the purpose of God. See, the cupbearer is restored, the baker is judged, and Joseph is still in prison. Yeah, so who's the real main character in this thing? Not the prisoners, not Pharaoh, not even the dreams. The Lord is the one who is directing the story. This means that we must never assume that earthly outcomes are the final word. The word often looks at situation, or the world often looks at situations and simply say this, that was bad for you. But God may be saying, I am still working. I love that song, His Little Children, He's Still Working on Me. You know, we know that, to make me what I ought to be. It took Him just a week to make the moon and the stars, the sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. Okay, how loving and patient He must be. He's still working on me. Okay, the world may call what is you and I might call an apparent defeat and look at it and say, this is it. It's the end. It's over. Yeah, God may be just simply preparing for a beginning. Think of the cross. To the human eye, the crucifixion looks like the defeat of Jesus, okay? But in the wisdom of God, it was the salvation of sinners. What looked like the worst Friday in history became the doorway to Resurrection Sunday. So, when God gives a clear word, you and I must trust it, even if the message is not what our flesh wants to hear. One dream meant restoration. One meant judgment. The difference was not the dreams alone. The difference was in the God who rules over them. Okay? Note takers, here's your number four. God's faithfulness is not ruined by human forgetfulness. Okay? The chapter ends with a painful sentence. Okay? Joseph asked the cupbearer to remember him when he is restored. That's in verse 23 of Genesis chapter 40. He's basically said, hey, look, you know, I did this for you. Remember me, okay? But chapter 40, verse 23 says this, the chief butler did not remember Joseph, but forgot him. Boy, that's gratitude, isn't it? See, that is one of the saddest lines in this chapter. Joseph had served faithfully, he had interpreted accurately, and asked only for one thing, remembrance, but the cupbearer forgot. Have you ever done good for somebody and they forgot? Have you ever sacrificed, prayed, helped, encouraged, and then been treated like you never mattered at all? Listen, I don't care who you are, and I don't care what you say, that hurts. You know it does. Yeah, it can make a person cynical as well. Yeah, it can make a person say, well, why should I keep caring if people are just going to forget me? But listen, hear the good news. Human forgetfulness does not cancel divine faithfulness, all right? Joseph was forgotten by a man, but not by God. The cupbearer's memory may have failed, but God's plan did not fail. In the very next chapter, Pharaoh himself has a dream. And the cupbearer remembers Joseph at the right time. All of a sudden, it was like, oh yeah, I remember what happened. You know, when I was in prison, there was this guy named Joseph, and he interpreted my dream, all right? God did not need the cupbearer's help. He only used the cupbearer's delay to set up the right moment. Now, would we be looking at that in that manner? Joseph probably sitting in prison going, well, this is just the way this is. Nothing's ever going to work out. But when it mattered, the cupbearer remembered that Joseph was the one who interpreted his dream and passed that on to Pharaoh, okay? That's another step coming up in our series, okay? That truth is a comfort to those who are weary servants. God sees the cup of cold water that you've offered in His name. God sees the hidden labor that nobody else sees. God sees the prayers nobody applauds. God sees the tears nobody knows. God sees the nights when you stayed faithful and nobody thanked you. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10 says this, "For God is not unjust to forgive your work and labor of love, which you have shown towards His name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister." What men forget, God remembers. What people overlook, God records. What seems delayed is not lost in the hands of God. And if we're honest, this is where many of us struggle. We want immediate vindication. We want our names cleared, and we want them cleared right now. We want the situation fixed right now, not later on. Yet we want the apology right now. We want the answer right now. But Joseph teaches us to keep serving even while we wait for the next chapter. Not every faithful person gets immediate relief. Not every prayer gets answered on our schedule. But every faithful person is held in the providence of God. Providence means that God is governing His world and guiding His people wisely, even when we cannot trace His hand, even when we can't see Him in the middle of it. Joseph didn't know it then, but his forgotten prison moment was connected to the salvation of a nation in a coming famine, all right? The timing of God is never random. The delay of God is not denial of God. The silence of God is not the absence of God. That means that you can keep praying. That means that you can keep obeying. That means that you can keep serving. You can keep trusting. You can keep forgiving. You can keep walking with God, even if you are still waiting for the cupbearer to remember who you are, all right? Because the one who matters most already knows your name. All right, number five, the best interpretation is to see Christ in the story, all right? That's what you've got to look for. Now, we must not rush into we got to be careful, all right? We can't rush into the larger biblical picture. Why? Because Joseph is not just an example of patience. He's also part of the Bible's great storyline that points to Jesus Christ. Joseph is righteous, and yet he suffers unjustly. He's rejected. He's humiliated. He's in prison. And though he has done no wrong whatsoever, he serves those who cannot help him. He speaks truth in dark places. He is forgotten for a time, but later exalted. In all that, Joseph foreshadows the great Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus also came into a world of darkness. He served those who did not deserve it. He spoke the truth. He was rejected by men. He was condemned unjustly, and he was placed among transgressors. For a season, it looked like evil had won. But the resurrection showed that God was at work all along. And unlike Joseph, who could only interpret dreams, Jesus is the Lord over reality itself. He doesn't merely explain what happens. He commands storms. He raises the dead. He forgives sin. He saves to the utmost those who will come to God through Him. All right? When we come to Christ, we're not just asking for better luck or a clearer sign. We're coming to the one who is the wisdom of God, the Savior of sinners and the Lord of all history. The deepest dream any of us need to interpret is the dream of our own life, the question of whether or not we belong to God and what our life is for. The answer is found in Jesus. If you're trying to figure out your life apart from Christ, you will always be guessing what the next step will be. When you come to Christ in repentance and faith, you begin to see that your life is held in His hands. You may still not know every detail of tomorrow, but you will know the one who holds tomorrow. Love that song. I know some of y'all just had that song in your head. That's the hope of the gospel, folks. Christ died for our sins according to the scripture. He was buried and he rose again on the third day according to the scripture. He is not merely able to interpret our story. He is able to redeem it, okay? So as you think about these points that we see in the scripture today, here's what we've got to think about. You know, we have to trust the God who is the one who holds the meaning. Now, just hearing the story and getting some head knowledge doesn't help us at all. So my question is this: with what you've learned today from these scriptures, what do we do with Genesis chapter 40? Let me give you a few practical steps, okay? First, all right, first, we stop pretending that the uncertainty means that God has left us. Sometimes we get that uncertainty in our hearts and all of a sudden we believe, well, God's not with us anymore. Stop pretending that uncertainty means that God has left us. Joseph was in prison, but God was present. Your circumstances may be tough. They may be some of the hardest things you've ever walked through, but the Lord is not far away. Get that in your mind. Get that in your heart. Second, we ask God for wisdom instead of chasing every voice. Interpretations belong to Him. He gives understanding as He wills, and He never leads His people astray. Did you get that? Never leads His people astray. Third, we receive His word, whether it comforts us or whether it convicts us. The baker's dream reminds us that God is not obligated to soften the truth to fit our preferences. We need His mercy, and we need to respond to His warning. That's pretty clear cut. Fourth, we keep serving even when we feel like we're forgotten. Yeah, Joseph did not stop being faithful because a man failed him, and neither should we. Did you hear what I just said? Joseph didn't stop serving God because a man failed him. And folks, let me tell you, man will fail you every single time. God will never fail you. You know, Joseph didn't stop serving because he was failed by a man. Neither should you. Just get that in your heart. Some of you need that as a swift kick in the britches today. Yeah, maybe today you feel like your life is a dream that you can't interpret. You know enough to be confused, but not enough to be settled. Well, hear this. You do not need to solve every mystery before you obey God. You do not need to see the whole map before you take the next step of faith. You need to trust the God who sees the whole story from beginning to end. If you belong to Christ, then your life is not random. Your suffering isn't pointless. Your waiting is not wasted. Your tears are not invisible. Your prayers are not unheard. And your future is not in the hands of luck, not in the hands of chance, or not in the hands of human powers. It is in the hands of the living God. So come to Him, trust Him, speak to Him, follow Him, serve Him right where you are. Be faithful where you stand. And when you cannot interpret the dream, rest in the God who can. One day, all confusion will be gone. One day, every delay will make sense. One day, every tear will be answered. One day, every forgotten act of obedience will be brought to light. Until then, we walk by faith and not by sight, believing that the Lord who was with Joseph in prison is the same Lord who is with us right now. And that, my friend, is enough. I hope that you've gleaned some things from God's word today as we have taken a look at Genesis chapter 40. Once again, next week we are going to be continuing our series on Joseph, a series that I titled From the Pit to the Palace, God's Providence Through Betrayal and Hardship. So this week I want you to spend some time in Genesis chapter 41. That's Genesis chapter 41, and we're going to be looking actually at verses 1 through 40. Now, you've seen how I've been doing this. For the sake of the time, I won't read all of those 40 verses. I'll pull those sections out of there. But next week, in Genesis 41, verses 1 through 40 in particular, we're going to be looking at when Joseph was remembered by Pharaoh, okay? Again, another step in God's providence through betrayal and through hardship. So be read up on Genesis chapter 41. I pray that we will have that opportunity to meet together right here again next week as we gather around God's word. Let me close you in a word of prayer and close our time today. Father, as we come to you, we're grateful and thankful. You are so good to us. And Lord, there's so much that we can learn from this particular passage. Father, I know that there are people today who are listening that are in some storms in their life, and they feel like that maybe you're not hearing them. Lord, they look at their situation and they say, Father, it's not fair. God, I need you to help me. And Lord, I pray that they don't become bitter and they don't become hard, but Lord, that they would be soft and tender towards you. Father, sometimes you just have us in the holding pattern. I pray that you will give them strength for the journey. I pray, Lord, that you would empower them, help them to serve right where they are until they see your hand move. Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. Thank you, Lord, for your word today that teaches us specifically what to do when life is tough and when life does not seem to be fair. So Lord, right now, I pray you'll go with each and every one of us through this week, strengthen us, encourage us. May we be used to encourage somebody along their journey today. And Lord, may we be an example of who you are, that others would see you in us and desire to walk with Jesus. Lord, I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey folks, thank you for taking the time to join us for the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church. And as always, I want to extend to you my personal invitation for you to join us for worship services. We meet on Sundays. Our main worship service is at 10:45 a.m. We do have other discipleship opportunities throughout the week and on Sunday. We do have Sunday school. We've got some small groups. We have Awana for the children during the school year. So we would certainly love to have you come and visit with us and worship our Lord in spirit and in truth. I hope and pray I get a chance to meet you this coming Sunday at Central Baptist Church. God bless. Have a great week.